have not met with you, say, you took it upon yourself to make this commitment to then say, I will be coming, so that we can share your experience as a portfolio community that went to the Western Cape. Unfortunately for me, say, I wasn't part of the delegation. Mr. Matuma was, and Ming Wan, some of the members, I think some are coming, some attended their apology, being a Friday. But that does not suggest that the issues that we're going to raise with you are not known and not even deliberated on. Members did deliberate on the issues. And which I then take that this is the debriefing before the committee now consolidates its final report for presentation in the House. I might go there by way of, as you know, the processes for noting all its recommendations to be adopted by the National Parliament. Having said that, I think for me this is and even for you, sir, it's my first and the last time that we see me chairing this committee. Why? Because yesterday we were then given orders. I'm now learning a language. Given orders that I relinquish my responsibilities in this committee and assume the same responsibilities in another committee. That other committee is defense. That is why then I'm saying I'm learning the language of that I've been commanded and that I have to go there. But having said that, I think we can start. Firstly, the purpose of the committee, as you know, say, is that we conduct the oversight as prescribed by our own constitution, where we follow the what we pass in the National Assembly, our legislation. And also whether the legislation and is properly implemented at the provincial and local level. If not, is there a weakness in the policy? Or is it the regulations? Or is it a weakness within the systems themselves? These are key things that we tend to look at. This time around here, so the committee went out with a specific mandate to interrogate first the intergovernmental and interdepartmental relations in the advancement of the agenda of government and that of parliament. Further to look into one critical area that has become a sore point for the committee, asset and asset management. Then we also look into the key program that we have as public works. That is our expanded public works program. As you know, then it directly talks to poverty alleviation, skills development, and job creation. We know that there are four sectors within that we identified that will be driving the program itself, your infrastructure sector, your social sector, your environmental, and your economic sector. So these are some of the areas that we interrogate whenever we visit provinces, whether they are in place, whether they are functioning, what constraints, challenges are we then faced with if such is not happening. Then we go to our entities. When we talk about our entities, I'm talking about our CIDP. We talk about our CPE, we talk about our IDT, we talk about your Agreement South Africa. But then lastly is the CETA. When we talk about CETA, we have our CETA, which is a construction CETA. We heard from the report that we received that there's a little bit of a problem with the CETA, whereby it was at one point assisted by the department. There's an intervention made by the department where the department to pay a sum amount with now the CETA. It's not paying back to the department. So that's then the reason why we're coming up, because we are also trying to evaluate this situation and also seeing whether these CETAs are they finding a way to begin to work together. I'm talking about the local government CETA, particularly at that level, and our CETA when we talk about the construction. Now, your interdepartmental, what I have found out in various provinces that we visited when we talk about the implementation of the expanded public works program is a lack of understanding by some municipalities. In some, you find that it's just deliberate. They don't know, but they are not implementing or having the principles of the EPWP incorporated in their programs at a particular level. Then you begin to ask a question. Here as parliamentarians, we look from all angles. I was listening to the president yesterday answering questions where he was talking much about the very same issues which were raised by the members in their various words about the project consolidate, here's the Manje, and also the MIG. Where you find that in some municipalities, one interesting thing, one municipality did not even know, I'm not going to mention the province, didn't even know that they were under project consolidate until they were told by the department. That's what you are under project consolidate. They said, no, we are not under project consolidate. and most, when we were then asking them whether they understand that DBSA is the driver of OCN Zamanje, and only to find somewhere they said, oh, what is that? What is OCN Zamanje? For them it was just very new. They didn't even know that there is OCN Zamanje driven by the DBSA to begin to drive and also assist in the fast tracking of the infrastructure delivery at that particular level. Now, I'm saying these are some of the observations that we made, but from our side, Mr. Matume and Mengwane and the other members will then interrogate and also make, I think Mr. Matume will be leading the debate as we are starting to do that. But I just wanted to make that short brief to then say these are the key areas that the committee was mandated to look into. So I will then very rude of me. Because we met and I didn't introduce the members. Mm-hmm. And next to me is Mr. Matuma, and I'm having Mrs. Umeng Mengwane. Then we're having Mr. Khadebe. And further down we're having Mr. Planche. And I am Bengu, committee secretary, the researcher, they're assisting us, so I think. Further down there also, Even if you are more than members, what's happening? That's an answer for staff also. Without any further ado, let me see.
Chairperson, perhaps let me take this opportunity to thank you in particular, as the committee members representing our province. It is unfortunate that the time when the committee was there, I was also engaged in other conversations. And I had made an undertaking that the last day when they are supposed to leave, I would actually be meeting them in Eastern Cape, but unfortunately, I was called up to head office. But nevertheless, I received a briefing from my staff to say that there was a smooth visit. And there was a request from my side to say that because I couldn't make the time that I should actually visit the committee members and the committee as a whole, so I would actually get some feedback from them. We have taken this decision in our new department, if I may put it this way, because I was only appointed to that department last year in November. So I said that I think it is imperative as and when members, whether it is at provincial level or at LCOP level or at national level, if they come, I think it was just important for us to say, that's what we normally say. Unfortunately, that could not actually materialize, but thanks for the visit. And I think we are here to listen and be able to take some of the advice from the committee. With me, I've got the acting head of the department, Ms. Ruth Pump. I have Mr. Nico Forley, whom I normally refer to as my boss. We worked together in health, and then we moved to sports, arts and culture together, and now we are at Transport, Roads and Public Works. He's a good friend of mine. Thank you very much.
Over to you, Mr. Matthew.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, MEC. You know, we were really looking forward to meet you when we were there. You know, in my closing remark of our visit, I said to your staff, as much as we're able to see you physically, but the kind of hospitality we receive from your staff department spoke of itself as to who's heading the department. The kind of this, a person, even if we did not see him, but really, the kind of a person who has really made the point that it is we get this is a full hospitality from your nothing from your staff throughout the visit. There was really, even if there was something, really thing that you needed to put it out, I think Mr. Forey was there all the time. To quickly respond to that promptly without any hesitation. As a result of that, we were able even to deal with the challenges of two hamsters that we got. Of which it was really also MEC. I said to them when we were in Kuruman, you know, I said to the mayor there, you know, Mayor, the departmental staff ambushed us.
they took up deliberately to the dead road, yes, so that we could see the horrible road in Northern Cape. When we come back, we must be really able to assist you in terms of infrastructure development. That was great. So, I thought that book is closed.
Yeah.
But the very, very last day, they said goodbye to us. You say, another time for prayer and punch. I said, well, this is a lesson on its own. Having said that, when we were told by a member from your province here, Mr. Tuela Anton, there he is. He's from your province. Yeah. He is the one who disappeared. Remember when you arrived here? So we said to him, that's a man who's going to join us. He's going to join us. This is a jest. So you must just account after the meeting where he went to. Maybe he got lost because we informed that he recently, his area or the region was integrated into Northern Cape. So maybe he got lost, you know, to find the way.
I wanted to send the MEC because if I were there, you know, I would have filled some of the things that you.
Nonetheless, MEC, one must say that really our observation, you really have a very committed team that is really committed in terms of service delivery. It was a team really that we felt that it is worth working with. You know, sometimes even if you were not there, sometimes even if the HOD was not there, but the team itself was really able to take us through. That on its really was a credit to yourself as the MEC. Really, you gave us a very committed staff. Well, there are, as the chairperson has already indicated, there were things that we look at in terms of the presentation. One must say that we got it with a very good presentation from the Department of Public Works, of which we interrogated. Subsequently, there was a presentation from the Department of Local Governments, HOD, of which our observation was that he was not properly briefed as to what is expected of him, of which he did concur to that. And he gave a promise that he's going to send this a revised presentation to us so that he begins to talk to what we were interrogating in terms of dialogue with him. We are still waiting for that. But there are areas that we were looking at, even in the action with the Department of Public Works, as well as provincial local local government municipality housing. Is the question of the intergovernmental relations and interdepartmental relations. For which key to that is the question of service delivery, acceleration of service delivery. You find that sometimes there are challenges from one department to another, but because departments are not talking to each other, there are challenges from one sphere of the government because there is no cooperation from the last sphere of the government. For instance, we visited one province. I think we related to that example, whereby when we were talking to the Department of Local Government, we were not able to even get a sense in terms of the cooperation between itself and the Department of Provincial level and municipality, municipal as well as the local municipality. It became even worse when we went to meet the local municipality. The district was complaining to say there is no cooperation between ourselves, the district municipality, as well as the municipality that are under our jurisdiction. And that poses a challenge. It is, therefore, it's one of the things that we need to do, really keep on activities in terms of promoting this intergovernmental, interdepartmental relations. sometimes you find that some of the issues are related to your department, or sometimes other issues are related to department of local government. For instance, the challenge of the NIC. In terms of the some of the interrogations, we are taking the role of NIC as a local municipality, as whether it is able to meet some of the challenges in terms of infrastructural development, which would talk to EPWP projects. And you find that sometimes that is there, that area is there. And it calls upon all of us to really look at that, how can we further enhance that area. So the area of Daman, which is an intervention project, I mean another program from the provincial local government department national. But you find that some of the chapters earlier on is alluded to that. You find that if you see some of the municipalities looking at their capacity, they are supposed to have this kind of intervention. But why are they not having that intervention? And it becomes really a challenge for some. So the point that I'm raising is that we're not able to interrogate quite extensively the presentation from the AOD Department of Local Government and Housing in the province. And we would appreciate if you can assist us to follow up that matter so that we're able to understand the challenges. Because that is where the need is really supposed to be driving EPWP process, whereby when we interrogate them, we will be able to make an assessment whether it does make any impact in terms of the make. To change the lives of the people, also the challenge of the skills that they are developing. So one of the areas that we were not able also was around the question of asset management. As much as we're informed that at least you do have an asset register, but we're also informed that you still have a challenges. But the challenge is not magnitude as compared to other provinces, because you happen to have less influence of the former homeland system. As a result of that, at least you are having lesser challenges than other provinces. But you still have challenges, because we're saying that it is we need to have, because when we pass Kiama, one of the roles of Kiama is to look at the asset management, national as well as provincial. As much as we are of the view that it is more damage done at the local municipality level, but because of the fact that it is, we are still not able in terms of Kiama to do all oversight over that area, we think that it is also the interaction between ourselves and most probably with the local government department and housing in your province would have assisted also us to more or less have some kind of understanding as to what is happening at the municipal level. But that was not also it has come to the fore. We saw that also as a challenge. Because we did indicate to them that it is, we are asking this indirect, because we are not doing oversight over them around this area. But given that we are interacting with them, because also the challenges reside by in like at that level of local municipality, whereby we found a lot of government assets I don't know, or there was a looting that took place. That is our observation in other provinces, and so that this will be able to share with them in that regard. Coming to the EPWP itself, let me see. As we all know that at least there are three features of EPWP. The question of poverty alleviation, skills development, and job creation. One must say that our observation in your province, there is really much work done around EPWP in terms of the current guidelines of EPWP. As much as you find that at least there are projects that would have been having this element of EPWP so that they assist in terms of the challenges of the, for instance, the skills development. More focus is around the jobs that are created through certain big projects. We visited, for instance, the projects, like, for instance, the hospital in Kimball that we visited. The new generation prison that we also visited in Kimberley. We're not able to give us a sense in terms of the EPWP element. For instance, when we interacted with the site manager or project manager there, we got a sense that there was a challenge in from the procurement process whereby elements of EPWP were not inclusive. As a result, this guy, when we spoke about EPWP, he was in a way quite confused, not knowing exactly how to respond to us. Instead, he just responded to questions haphazardly in a manner that does not assist us precisely to understand that he does really understand the elements of EPWP in terms of this magnitude project. As well as the mental hospital in Kimberley, I think that what we observed is that before we come to that, but also what disadvantaged us there was the fact that we visited that hospital on a day where workers took off day. As a result, we're not able also to interact with workers there. So that also you have this holistic approach in understanding the site itself, having engaged with also the workers. But when we visited mental hospital in Kimberley, our observation was that also there, there is no conscious effort from the management to also drive EPWP. As much as he did indicate to us that there are some contractors that are there, but you do not get a sense in terms of committing those contractors. To us, it was as if it's just the old way of committing subcontractors. But you don't have a contractor that are part of the project in a manner that assists us to understand, one, the grading. Because we were also, when we interacted with the department, we were informed that legally engagement between yourself and the department and the IDB, as a result, there is no grading system that would enable us to make observations that these subcontractors, when the project manager said, no, there are subcontractors here, would be able to say that they are in grade 5, then grade 6, grade 7, or they are in grade 2, whatever the case might be. We saw the question of the IDB and also as a challenge in that regard. But when we talked to the site agent or site manager, project manager, he was of understanding of these guidelines of EPWP. But in the implementation part, he was not there. And we spoke to him. There were even two ladies and one young guy who were told that they are the student engineers. And we appreciated that. But there is no precise program that enables us in terms of measuring the development of the contractors to say that it is when the contractors leave the shop, because it is joint venture, for some of them subcontracted, they will be able to be graded by the IDB, so that when they leave this project, they would have been able to say that if the contract was in grade 2, for example, would be elevated to grade 3, as an example. Those are some of the challenges. Also, the emerging contractors, when we were interacting with the department, the department in the presentation, they informed us that you need to replace your yellow fleet and you need something like 20 million for this purpose. Now, we were of the view that when we visited other provinces, for instance, when we come across this challenge, the major contractor said that it is
we don't have equipment. As a result, we continue to hire equipment from the established company, which makes us now also to take back the money to the very same established contractors, because we don't have equipment that would enable us to retain the money of the project within ourselves. So we normally make a plea to the department that is it also possible if there is a process of disposal whereby you could perhaps also to involve them. For instance, in Eastern Cape, one example is concerned. We made that plea because same sub-pool and sub-contractor complained that at least we don't have equipment. And then we made a plea that at least perhaps it should be ideal if you have got a disposal process. You engage them so that also you make an arrangement that if, for instance, they are aware that at least a contract of 2 million, that is an example, and then at least a contract would look at the equipment in terms of priority, so that at least you say that out of that 1.5 million, at least you'll be able to utilize the 500, I'm just making a rough example, 500,000 to acquire these equipment, so that at least you pay them in installments. Those are kind of those arrangements, and you are better placed immediately to understand this environment. But at least you say that at least over a second period, you'll be able to say that at least why is the CIDB or yourself, you have engaged, or let me start with CIDB. CIDB as the grading institution in the country. Would we say that at least this contractor is in grade 3, and then we engage them? Definitely, because they've been able to handle funds of about 3 or 4 million. You'll be able to say that at least now, out of this now, because they've got now equipment, you'll be able to conduct them to the next project now. And that will enable them to retain some of the funds within their coffers other than having to hire equipment for the next project. So these are some of the areas where that at least we need to raise with the MSC. In terms of the social sector, I must say that we were not able to get exposure in terms of the project around the social sector, for which we believe that as the government always says that it is, in terms of driving EPWP, it's not always possible that you find those projects residing within the Department of Public Works. You find them sometimes residing with the Department of Social Development or Health, economic development, etc. You see. But what is critically important is what we call data as the Department of Public Works. To what extent are we coordinating those projects that are EPWC related? I think that becomes a challenge. And in terms of our observation, we're not able to make that observation in terms of the coordination. That also goes along with the question of this environmental sector as well. Well, one would also say that in terms of economic sector, we came across it that when we visited Kuruman, I think Kuruman district municipalities, when we were taken by the mayor to those cuts, Mr. Foreo, Kuruman, that's a Kalahari district. I think that that project is a very good project. We were so impressed. But we said that also what is needed there is the question of the market strategy. One observation from members was that perhaps that card is a behavior to be pulled by donkeys. Is it perhaps not ideal to get mules a part of assisting that community? The other area was around
the marketing strategy that would enable even the community in the Cape Verde to get exposure to that kind of another kind of growth. In the Cape Verde, by and large, especially the current community, they are using these cards, but it's all type of cards. They are pulled, of course, by the mules. And that can really, if, for instance, there could be at least a buy-in from Cape Town Municipality or the Provincial Economic Department, that can help a lot, really. The other area, but in fact also, they said that you are also contemplating marketing it even in African seas, which also is a very good, for tourism, which is also a very good idea. One member from KZN, he said, you must forget to KZN, you never get a market there. They have got Naturi show there. the other area is the involvement of the National Youth Service. As much as you win from that, you are part of the launch of the National Youth Service. But in terms of launching it in the province, I think you are still going to do that. And then I think that also some of the features that we saw in some of the projects were beginning to speak to the youth involvement. But not at a bigger scale. For instance, the road that we visited, I think it was in this project we visited. It was Hans Wagner EPW project. And I think the road, that road project, road construction. They were also impressed by the fact that it's the youth that is constructing that road. Also, there was a youth that came two or three days from the training for the fence base of buildings, the fence for the fencing of the area. But also in that area, we felt that it is you need also to develop an exit strategy for that youth. Because all these pockets of existing projects should enable the youth, even if the job is completed, to say that because I've happened to acquire the skills, I'm able to talk to F and Y to form a magic conductor in the strength building process, or fence-making, whatever the case might be. So that when you need that, you have left the skills there, and the youth will be able to group themselves. And that is what EPW is always emphasizing on. On the skills development around the question that is, even if the process is completed, there would be a situation whereby the youth would remain there and be able to form their smaller Nyana company. And when we interacted with them, we sort of just promoted that idea to them. Say that you can still contract to the department of education or public health, etc. But if, for instance, certain schools will be banned, now if there are local people who work for that field that has been started by the Department of Public Health through EPWP Natural Project, they will be able to continue their livelihood in that process, and that will further sharpen their understanding, the theoretical and practical understanding of the business into which they are. And we saw that that's one of the areas, the exit strategy, that as a department has, you need to access. We are not saying that you don't have it, but we were not able to create a full picture around the exit strategy in some of those, I guess, a small natural conductors. And this also was more prevalent, MEC, when we visited Port Nolot, for instance. We were informed that in Port Nolot, we were taken to a project whereby youth has done
the painting of the priest of the beach. We are fighter, not good shop, no, it's very, very, very marvelous shop. But also even there, when we interacted with the mayor, the very same idea we tried to share with the mayor, to say like this, let us mayor also, given that it is this, you are in the periphery of South Africa, almost in the periphery. You are struggling to get skills in this area. You are struggling to get it in the material in this area. These are some of the areas that you need to look at. So that even if you are finished with this job, you still have a youth that will be able even to give my house, you know, because that's acquired certain skills, you know, or pave my driveway, things like that, you know, because that's what this guy can group themselves into smaller Nyana emerging contractors so that they continue their livelihood in terms of even being given skills to how to procure. Those are some of the observations that you need. Also, in terms of SETA, we did not get a sense that there is a involvement of construction SETA. What we're informed by the department is that it's the department that trains people on all these jobs, of which we appreciated that. But we found out also, well, what a SETA here. That was, that has got a constitutional mandate from the national government to capacitate our people out there in the constructive environment. And if they do not do that, to what extent are you as the department in the province that are engaging? What are the challenges that we encounter? So that we are able also to factor that in our report to say that at least this is what we observe. But we don't want to make it a unilateral observation. That is why it became imperative for us to have this interaction so that even before it happened on the other to the fact that we will be writing a report, but we want to write a report having assess the visit between ourselves so that also you make your own observation. I think also when we visited Kuruman, Kuruman, the mayor, met the mayor there. Mayor was not really assisting us in terms of also understanding the EPWP project. No. It was still Khalkhad. It was Khalkhad, yeah. Because from that, from their office, we went to those projects, the HAD project, and then the UDF project, yeah. So Khalkhad, you correct me, Mr. Foreman?
Yeah.
It was Khalkhad. When we visited there, our observation was that Mayor has got little information about the EPWP. I think we must have made that observation. Instead, she was lambasting around the fact that there is little interaction or communication between the MPs and herself around EPWP. Project. She doesn't know as well as the asset management, things like that. She even questioned the fact that we have passed the Kiama Bill. She says she doesn't know even the Kiama Bill. She had the silos and there's no feedback from even from the national MPs from your province to that area in terms of understanding. And she was really encouraging. But in terms of the presentation, there's little that we were able to solicit in terms of EPWP for it. That's why also, if you recall, Mr. Fori, she wanted to take us to that institute whereby there's a training taking place. But I think she, that idea just dropped off as we're moving, because she never took us to that area. She said, perhaps that's the area that I would like to take you to, so that they're able to see yourself, the training of the youth there in that institute. But the other area there was around this UDS. I think that the UDS is a urinary distribution system. Yeah. We were informed, MEC, that this is a project
that was undertaken by the Northwest Africa government. But that community, after the new demarcation, fell into your province. The result is that of your project. But having made that observation, we were taken by the councillors because when we asked in terms of market eradication, we were assured that not here, not in this district, we don't have a backlog of market eradication. But when we visited the project itself, the observation of all of us was that even market system is better than what we saw. And as a government, how can you allow a situation? How can you allow a situation to continue to say that it is, we need to really change the system? Because it's really haphazard. I mean, don't even mention the situation what, that we observed there. But it's really not, it is ideal for human beings. Really, we cannot commit our people. The worst part of it is that attention that smaller Yana village, there is another village just opposite the road. We informed that they are using a feed system there. Few of these UDS systems were installed there, and it is alleged that people were bribed to accept that by the councillors from the previous attempt. The very guy who is the councillor in that area currently, he was saying that he was leading people who were saying, we are not going to accept this thing. But he was sidelined at that time. Now he's the councillor now. He feels that there is really something must be done about this thing. So really, it's a health hazard. And we're told that it is the Department of Water Affairs made an excuse that because of the water level, you cannot have another system there. And we ask the question that it is, communities, when they dig the hole for pit system or pit toilet, they dig even bigger holes than the hole that we saw. The hole of this height, from here, with a bag, and then a person has got to pull out the pieces.
No, that's horrible.
No, we're making it just a mockery of the bucket eradication system. That is the opposite machine. And MSC, you correct us if I'm reflecting what members of parliament said. And we said that it is, if there is a need to interact with the department that approved this thing, so that more investigation is done as to what happened to that project, so that we don't repeat. And what was also assisting us is when we interacted with the municipality in Port Nolo, their information was that as much as they do have that system, but they have taken upon themselves to remove that bag. Don't leave it to the individual owner of the household to remove that bag. To where is he or she going to take it? I mean, really, we cannot allow that system to take place. I mean, really, mustn't really... No, can't make a mockery out of this project, a common project, really. It's really an insult to our people. And we are asking you, really, MSC, to look at that thing. The other area, we went to Springbok, Upington first. In Upington, where the presentation was done in the local municipality, and we're quite impressed, but the stage must be taken to the site, where they are to build that hospital. I think it's a provincial or district hospital, but it's a bigger hospital. I think the effort has been completed there. They informed us that it is now you are in the procurement process. By November, you'll be having appointed a contractor on the site. But when we interrogated either the the project manager or the official who's heading EPWP were not happy about the response. Not at all. To say that there is no inclusion of EPWP in this project. It's just the old way of tendering because that gets the award and then it goes on site. It just seems of engaging the small contractors. There is no element of EPWP. And we raise this thing. The project manager was just simply astounded. He didn't know about this thing of EPWP in the life. All what he knows is that he has completed the first phase. Now, most probably, he might be awarded the second phase. All what he commits himself is to employ people and be trained. That is all what he says. No, employ laborers and be trained. And that is not our understanding. Because our understanding is that projects of that magnitude, which is about more than 350 million, are the projects that could assist the community so that when you leave that project, when this project is completed, communities in that area would have acquired fields. For areas like Eppington, areas like Springbok, I'm going to also talk about Springbok, you need to really, given the talent, especially in Northern Cape, whereby you have got this challenge of lack of skills, even the very, very basic skills. People are, for instance, leaving the province, going to either Western Cape or Gauteng, where they think a chance that greener pastures. But if it is a pool of these skills locally, people like this will be conducted even by my neighbor, even by myself, because there is a skill that I got when I was working for this one of our work in a particular project. Then now, I'm proud of being what I am in terms of the skill capacity and be able to build the house of my neighbor, etc., so that it is at the end of the day, I'm able to say that it is I've got skill. But when we interacted with them, there was no sense in that regard. And we said to Mr. Foro was present, we said to the department, even in fact, the MDL, Ms. Lucas, made observation that they did raise this matter as MDL in the legislature. But it seems as if this is not a matter that was prioritized in terms of the procurement process. And she said she's going to talk to her colleagues in the committee so that they further engage yourselves as a department. Because it's not that this is not a matter that must be to chance. That it is to this project managers must think as to whether they are training people or not. It must be something that is at least incorporated in the tender document itself so that you are able to really make sure that it is where the contractor lives, the skills that are left. Coming to Springbok, the very same observation we made. There is a black guy who owns the contractor. He's a correct guy. He's a very nice guy. We were so impressed when we interacted with him. He's not a white guy. He's doing this project in Springbok. I think it's also a rehabilitation center, if I'm correct, that's a yeah. But this guy, he's with his son, who's a QF. Others are workers, in the social sector of workers. And we ask the question, if for instance you are coming from Kimba, let's say you're coming from Kimba, he came with his workers, by and large. Now, we said that if there is no commitment, you are handling a project of about 40 million rand. If there is no commitment in terms of also leaving skills in this community, it means you still come back when there's another project that you are awarded by the Department of Public Works. And this community will not have the privilege of also tendering in their own rights. Energy contractors in this area. And that means that it is a good, it really is a challenge of the Department of Agriculture, MEC, to really look at that area. I've already made mention of Bodno Lodz. But I must say that actually, by and large, our visit in Bodno Lodz was that you wanted us to really know the challenges that we are confronted with as a province. One, in terms of infrastructure development, especially the airport in the area. The water challenge. There's a water scarcity in the area. But also the roads. Because when we visited Hostel Research Trials, that is the area where we had a puncture for the second time. It's a dead road for plus minus 50 k's. You'll correct me, Mr. Bori, but it's really a tiring road. And then, if, for instance, this is a heritage site that is declared by the United Nations, it means, therefore, that there is a need of bringing infrastructure there in that area. The question of telephone, where we were in that community there, where we got a briefing, there is no receiving signal of cell phones. And we informed that when that project was launched, Vodacom was there, made promises, but never fulfilled those promises. But when we were there, there were tourists who came in. We were told that, look, those are tourists. And we found that really, if we could have tourists not being able to communicate with their respective families back home, or even inside the country, that is a challenge. Because what would happen if, for instance, they are in danger? Or else even data is going to come into the area. And as now, we are living in cell phone world. That's how the communication is so fast today. Unlike the old days where we're using a red line. Even the police station, the structure was there. We saw that this was the police station, but there are no police men and women in that area. And we're raising the fact that in South Africa, we need to be proactive. We cannot say that for instance in that community because they happen to know each other. It's a small community. The rate of crime is very low, if there's any. But because of the fact that there are tourists down that are flocking in, people come from Cape Town, come from Joburg and commit crimes on the road to that site. And people should be able to press a cell phone and communicate with the outside people so that they get a little rescue. So those are some of the challenges that really, it is really a matter of agency. Coming to the question of the airstrip also, our observation was that it is, if there is no airstrip there, really there is a need of looking at that because we're told that if Alexander does have a private airstrip for these mine companies. But also in Springbok, there is, but too far. Perhaps also to be ideal to have a look at that in the foreseeable future. In fact, that was raised by the mayor when we invited to them. But I must say also, in terms of coming back quickly, with the diamond mine there, in terms of economic sector, we did not get a sense that it is our people are benefiting quite extensively. We saw that there's this company in Africa, DPS, who's mining in the sea. But just you, for instance, the hotel where we slept, when we engaged the woman there who ran in that hotel, she informed us that her husband is having a stroller, which is also doing some smaller general business in terms of mining the diamond. But we don't have a coordinated effort by the department, either local municipality or the provincial Department of Economic Affairs. That would also talk to the element of APWP in terms of the mining of the diamond in the area. So these are some of the observations that we made. The MEC, perhaps Mengwana would make some additions if anything that I've just omitted. But I think that these are some of the observations that we made. But the trip itself, overall, was a very good trip. But also the fact that we had to travel from Port Nolot to via Seppels back to up in Springbok, take another 550 from Springbok to Cape Town. That was a tiring journey, really. When we arrived in Cape Town, not about 10 o'clock, we were so tired. If there was at least an airstrip there, we would have managed to get at least a link to take us back to Cape Town. So we've experienced in terms of the road infrastructure, well, as I've alluded to some of the tire punctures, two experiences, as well as the long route from Northern Cape, Port Nolot to Cape Town. Having said that, I must thank you, MEC. Perhaps Umengwana is going to make some additions.
Thank you, Chairperson. Actually, it's very mouthful. Yeah, it's just a few additions on some points that we wanted to emphasize. For instance, we're saying concerning the emerging contractors, I think it is important because most of these, the deep projects are funded by the government. So if at least there should be a way of assisting the emerging contractors. We were told when the presentation was made on the Thursday, that was on Monday, that we've got about 236 emerging contractors. So what we are looking at is when the big projects that are funded by the government, these contractors must really be involved. So that at the end of the day, they move from one grade to the next one. Because what we are looking at is that there won't always be projects that are funded by the government. They must be able to stand on their own in future and be and go into partnership with all LTAs and the other. They must move from one grade to the next one. CIDB is just a sort of a standard by the national government. And coming to these entities by public works, the other one is IDT. In most provinces, we still have these mud schools. IDT is assisting. It's one of the projects that IDT has taken into consideration. They are doing it as IDT. So we need to make use of all the entities that fall under public works. Actually, with these emerging contractors, we're saying with the big contractors, the Department of Public Works must be very strict with the specifications on the tendering documents. The specifications on the people with disability, the women and all that and all that. That is why in some instances these major contractors, they don't move. As a result, we begin to have a feeling of the fronting problem in many provinces. So to avoid that, they must grow. That's what we are trying to emphasize. I think I don't have to repeat what Comrade Magema just said. Thank you, Shepherd.
I'm pleased to say that, thank you, Chair.
safe to say that MEC, the as members are making their observations, you'd appreciate that some of the issues indeed are not of our competence at this particular level. We as a committee, we are going solely to focus on those. That's the reason also of the debriefing to then say there are those key areas that are of provincial competence where we cannot find ourselves making any recommendations. So it's to say that we have observed this and that. And what I want to say there, wherever you have heard us saying we want this to happen, we want you to do this, you find that some of the issues that we're referring to, because we know that you meet in the EXCO and discuss with your counterparts, those are some of the elements that relate directly to local government in real life, which are not part also of your responsibility at a particular level. But we just want to highlight the list and direct those to our intergovernmental and interdepartmental relations. So that's what I was just saying to make.
Thank you very much, Anderson. I think MEC now would like to hand it over to you so that you make your observations in terms of the impossibility.
No, Chairperson, thank you very much. It is clear that the committee really went there and looked at a number of areas. And I think our position from the department is that we were here to come and listen. But I think it is important that I should maybe just make a couple of comments on issues that were raised. With regard to the intergovernmental issues, we have a PIGF that takes place once a month, and it is headed by the Premier of the Northern Cape. Issues that emanate from Cabinet and have relevance to the PIGF, we normally go back and actually share some of these ideas with the municipalities in particular. And at these committees, we have the municipal managers and mayors of the district. And we also have the Department of Housing and Local Government. And we have Environmental as well as Economic Affairs and Finance, MECs and HODs serving on a full-time basis. So what the other department, as and when there is an item, we are actually requested to come and do a presentation. And I must say that the establishment of that PIGF has resolved quite a number of issues. For example, without deviating, you would know that government departments are notorious in not paying rentals. And I know for a fact that we've been asked to deal with this matter quite appropriately. And I must just report for the record that we have managed to pay over $1 million to the district municipality of Francis Park. And it is clearly as a result of the PIGF. With regard to the matter regarding the asset management on asset registers as a whole, I'm sure you would agree with me that it is a problem that permeates throughout throughout South Africa. And it is just a matter of, I think at this point in time, National Department of Public Works is in fact grappling with this program. There is an ICT program that is currently being tested. And the Northern Cape HOT, we are one of the departments that actually is being taken through this program. But generally, with regard to the department, as you correctly indicated to me, we are following the guidelines as set out by the accountant general. And what we have done as a department is that we thought it was essential for us to roll out YAMA to the levels of even the ordinary municipalities, so that there is compliance throughout. We are in fact interacting with the department via the CFO's office to ensure that there's a same understanding of YAMA and the framework thereof throughout. In terms of the EPWP, I think you've raised quite a number of issues, Chairperson. But I fully concur with you that the thrust thereof should be a well-oiled exit strategy. My observation is that we've been working in a loop. We've been employing or taking people on EPWP and dumping them, and just really creating more and more unemployment. We have just completed our EPWP strategy, which is going through the economic cluster this coming week on Wednesday. And attached to that, we also have a full report that deals with the barrier sector. Because that was one of the challenges that we had in the province, is that, as you correctly say, health would be doing their own thing, social services would be doing their own thing, the same with education and environment department. We have managed to convene a number of meetings with all the role players. And we have succeeded, I would say, so far that we can now speak in one voice. Because the report that we are taking to the cluster on Wednesday speaks about all the departments, all the sectors. Check it. We will leave a copy of the of this so that you can go through it. And then obviously once the final document has been approved by Cabinet, we are hoping to launch it on the 13th of September, simultaneously as we launch the NYF program in the province. The areas that you have mentioned in particular about the donkey cart. We thought that as a department we should actually assist with the marketing strategy. Because our idea is that just as well as government has a buy-in in the idea, we need to actually be able to create some sustainable jobs out of this program. And we are committed to assist the municipality because at this point in time we have a similar level agreement with them to deal with this this program. The Fort Nolos project, I don't know whether you happen to see the pictures of how that beach looked like before. There's another program that we're also busy with a place called Hondatlabai, which is just on the other side of Garissa. Those of you who have gone to that part of the country, you see that nothing has been done, or that beach is not touched at all. And we thought as a department that part of this big program of EPWP should actually be extended to that area. We're about to start with Hondatlabai, I think within the next month or so. All the business plans and service level agreements have been signed. But you are correct, Chairperson, to say that out of this program, we should be able to deliberately ensure that there's work for the people who are actually involved, including accreditation. And I think that is very critical. I fully concur with you. And that is the route that we want to go. We have said in our Executive Management Committee, when we look broadly into the program of EPWP, we have said that as government and as public works, from our provincial infrastructure grant, we need to deliberately set aside, particularly in both education and health, certain amount of money that would actually take these small people who are coming out of the program. Even if they can build one classroom or build two classrooms, whatever, I think we would be able to monitor them. And you are correctly right, Chairperson, to say that we need to support these emerging contractors. We have seen that people have been left with that limited amount of money that they have been allocated to build one or two classrooms or maybe five classrooms. They are dependent on other big contractors for the equipment in particular. We are in the process of disposing or auctioning our old yellow fleet in the department. But we have identified certain equipment that we will actually keep and actually refurbish for the purpose of allocating them to some of the municipalities and also looking deliberately into programs of ensuring that the emerging contractors are actually benefiting. We have just started with the auction in Sianda, and we've just been having a little bit of teething problems which we are busy dealing with in order to ensure that we actually meet that that requirement. In terms of CIDB, Chairperson, I think you are absolutely correct that we have a lot of so-called black contractors sitting in the 1GB bracket. Maybe for the record, we put up a tender in order to build my new office block because I've been squatting, I've been kicked out from one building to another, because I do not really have our own building. And I'm sure the committee was taken to the area where I took an old hostel and actually converted it into an office block.
But every time I'm just laughing, saying, but you're a landlord, but you're squatting.
These are some of the things that happened in life. I was with agriculture, and then I went to safety and liaison, and I was also kicked out. And finally, I decided that I must actually build myself our own office block. But nevertheless, the initial estimate to build the office block was 7.2 million.
And I went back to my office and convened a meeting with the head of the department and the chief director responsible for belt environment. And I said, how do I explain to the poorest of the poor that I'm going to build myself a 7.2 million office block? I said, it doesn't make sense. They went back, made some other calculations, and they said, this is a reasonable amount. It is now going to cost 4.1 million. And I still refused. I said, that's too much. We have then went out to look into getting the 2 GBs, 3 GBs, 4 GBs to form a company. And I can tell you now that that office block could be built to the tune of about 2.5 million from 7.1. And that is really the route that we want to go, and the commitment as a department that we want to ensure that those small contractors are actually benefited. But we've had a meeting with Mr. Ronnie Khoza. We have started road shows in the province where we spoke to all the emerging contractors. And in particular, we invited the women to come to our meeting and the youth. And I can tell you here and now that the first meeting, their attendance, we could not even fit the people who came to that meeting, which clearly indicates that there's lack of information. And unfortunately, in our province, because it's always referred to as a very small province, we don't even have an office where CIDB can actually operate. And as early as this past week, we had a visit from the CIDP. There is a commitment that they will be opening an office, hopefully towards the end of this year or early in January. We have made an office space available from our department for them, which clearly indicates that there is a commitment from the province to ensure that CIDP operates from there. But before I close the matter on the CIDB chapter, we are also guilty as a department. And it's not only the department of the Northern Cape, all of us. Because when these small emerging contractors complete their projects, we don't give them certificates. So there is no assessment whatsoever that can be made to say, I've completed a project of X amount of money, and therefore, I graduate to get to the next level. And those are some of the things or challenges that we said we as a department, we must actually straighten out. And we shall ensure that our people compete favorably in this market. The hospital that you visited, the mental hospital, the contractor there comes from the previously disadvantaged community. At some stage, he battled. The newspapers were all over me, and I simply just refused to entertain or respond to the newspaper stories. We had a meeting with the contractor, and he told us the problems that he was going through. Now, we built, or we are currently building, a big prison next to that project. So when the prison started, all the laborers, the foremen, the artisans, moved over for better salaries. And there was a major problem. But we managed to rescue the situation. And I'm sure you've seen it for yourself that the program is continuing. And I think that is a deliberate strategy that we need to develop. Those interventions are essential so that we ensure that our people grow as well. the proposal that the contractor was making was, I want to hand over this project now to LTA or Greneka and that kind of thing. And we said, no way. You will continue with this program. And I can safely say that things are at least happening in that area. We have noted the points on CIDP, and we take notes of that. The issue of the access roads, you know, the province has a big challenge in terms of registration of our professionals. We were shocked to find out that all the engineers that we have in the department, not even one single engineer has been registered. And when we did an analysis of why most of the time we were actually outsourcing our project, we actually identified because these people cannot actually sign off some of these programs, simply because they are not actually registered. Now, the MINMEC, under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Toko Tukisa, convened a meeting now recently with the CDE, the Council for Build and Value, with the universities and with the technicals. And we've had very fruitful discussions emanating from that meeting. And we've even gone further to say that there's a need for some of these councils to actually visit the provinces. Because it's a very complicated arrangement. You need to have something like 3 professional engineers registered in order to supervise these young people who are coming from the university. It is a challenge. Coming from the human resource discipline, once you have your qualifications and you work for a year or two, it is in fact an automatic registration to belong to some of these. The same with doctors. When they come out of a 7-year program, they immediately register with PHRMA. But when you get into the engineering field, it's a bit complicated. And we were saying that there is about high time that some of these areas must actually be dealt with. We are trying to attract retired engineers so that they can actually come and help us to ensure that our engineers are also registered. Fortunately, we do have quantity surveyors in the public sector who have been registered, and we have, I think, 3 or 2 others who have not been registered, and we said that with the visit of these institutions, we'll be able to deal with this matter. The issues of the CETA, I think all I can say that I really acknowledge the point that you've made. It is a fact that we are still grappling with refund in this area, but the new team that has been appointed to deal with the sector is in fact trying their utmost best to ensure that there is cooperation in this regard. The other points that you raised, Chairperson, that are directly related to the Department of Housing and Local Government, we will report to the MEC and see whether we cannot actually have that presentation forwarded to you as soon as possible. The Upington Hospital, I think you also raised the issues of EPWP, which I fully agree with you, that that is actually the route for us to go. The point that I want to talk about also is the issue of the supply chain management. We are currently revising our policy. At the last quarter, we took a decision that says, if we award projects to contractors, 50% of the material must be procured in the Northern Pacific. And we are going to include that in our new policy. And we further said that 30% must be allocated to the BEE, with a 10% ring-fenced for women and the youth. And that is the only way that we would be able to ensure that that there is compliance in terms of what this government wants to achieve. I'm disappointed on the point that you raised regarding the Springbok Ritual Center. We will look into that one as well. And I think perhaps without trying to force these contractors, we must ensure that as and when we allocate this project, we must actually articulate those consents. The issue of the airport in the Namakwa region, I also want to couple it with the response of the ex-Tien Fantain. Well, fortunately, when I was still in Aston Carter, we were running with the recognition of that area as a World Heritage Site, as a collective. We are very much aware of the roads. But some of the impediments that we are having is the situation at this point in time is that we have allocated our responsibility to the district municipalities in terms of the maintenance of the gravel roads. And it poses a very big challenge to us. We are, as a department, looking at changing that position. And I'm sure all of you will agree that there's a capacity problem at municipality level. They don't have engineers. And it doesn't make sense if you allocate those competencies to them. They will not be able to shoot them 100%. So we are really looking into that. And that's most of the problems that we're having. But the aim is we use the Alexander Bay Airport. There's a road that goes to Kubus from there. The department is currently doing planning and designs of that road. And then we will also extend that road from Kubus to the Rechtersveld. And we are saying that as part of our procurement for the new yellow fleet, we have already allocated 20 million there. We should be able to actually allocate these graders or that equipment to that area and all of that. The other side, whilst we're building with the process of finalizing the building of the Kubus, Alexander Bay Kubus Road, that we have that road regularly graded, tempered. The problem, I'm sure you would agree with me, is the vastness of the Northern Cape. From Kimberley to Fort Knowles is approximately 1,003 kilometers. My other office is located in Springbok. I'm required to service that office at least once a month. Now you can understand there are no flights in between. Well, then it brings me to the point of what we are doing about traveling in the province. For the last 3 to 4 months, we've been engaged in a robust discussion in the economic cluster in terms of the submissions that we've made for air flights. We have had presentations from the FAA, the FAX, and other private people. And I can say that hopefully by the end of next month, we will be able to finalize that. We are looking at having a flight, is it four times? Four times to Accrington, and three times to Springbok as well. So the next time when you come, hopefully, Chairperson, you won't have that problem of having to travel long distances. Not really. We're looking at various options. Yeah. We have engaged NOCI, which is the Northern Cape Chamber of Industry. We have engaged the farmers. We've engaged DBS and other role players so that there's no dependency on government on this flight, because that's the one thing that I would not like to see as funding this project. We should have all the role players, because all of us want to travel. We have currently an Imperial car fleet program that is running in the province. We hire out cars from Imperial. And part of this big exercise is to minimize landing rights, if I may put it this way. Because obviously traveling between really these long distances, and rather try and encourage departments to utilize these flights that we want to introduce in the province. And actually have, even if we can actually go for an arrangement that says we have 10 permanent seats for all departments, and then the others could then go to the other role players like the farmers and Nokia and so forth and so forth. So that is basically what we are busy trying to do in the province, Champion. The roads, yes, are bad. This year we've managed to increase our roads budget. We're standing at 363 million now. And that means nothing.
Yeah.
When I assumed this position, I was briefed that to build a quality road would pay between 1.2, 1.4 million per kilometer. But at this point in time, we are standing at about 2 million plus per kilometer, which is a huge challenge for us as government if we say we want to build decent roads in the area. The acquisition of the Kalahari district has just complicated this matter further. If my memory is correct, yesterday I had to account to the NCOP. You know that the NCOP was in Kalahari in terms of my long-term and short-term progress with regard to dealing with the matter. But we are grappling with it. We have allocated over the MTF, correct me, 60.5 million to do access roads, which is part of the EPWP, the upscaling program, in that area only. And we are looking at three roads which are, we classify as economic roads. My friend from Kalahari will tell you, Mataro Tsine road is very important because of the mines in that area. We have also managed to have meetings with Botswana government to do the Makati's Rest. Now that road, that long stretch of road, will benefit both countries and will benefit everybody who's on that road. So there's a huge saturation of people in that area. That is the main road that we were looking at, and I can't just remember the third one. But with Vendel to Chachilia, that's the third one, because it's also the economic road. So we said let's give those roads priorities for the year 2008, 2009, 2010, based on the funding models that we have now. The others, we said, part of procuring the new yellow fleet, well, obviously, we would then be dealing with the issues of upgrading those roads. We have appointed a contractor to conduct a study. You would know these places, we call them Rokomahai. I also come from that place. I come from a place called, say, Fife, in the Kuruma. That's where my family is now. You don't really know which one is an access road. Somebody has just decided to take a small little road, and all the donkey carts are using it, and it has become a road now. So we have actually appointed a consultant to do work for us, to do a study, and hopefully we'll be able to determine which are the roads that we should actually do for access, and those who should become main roads. Chairperson, the last point is really the issues of the entities that you've raised. Part of the completion of the strategy, it was done by IDT. They were actually leading this, so it clearly indicates that there's a healthy working relationship for those factors. But at MENMEC level, Chairperson would vouch for me, at MENMEC level, all of these institutions are actually invited. They serve there, and we can actually then articulate our concerns with regard to all of this. Chairperson, I think that wraps up my response, and I must say that I've learned so much, and I think I need to go back and get these clever people who are working with me to assist me to meet those challenges. But I think as government, we are committed to better the lives of our people. And we are also committed to ensure that the matter that deals with the BEE element should be appropriately addressed. And this is the time. I think we've got legislation in place that guides us in terms of how to deal with these things. And we will ensure that we meet all of those objectives. I think that's briefly from my side, Chairperson, as a response. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to give some members to make proper observation before the Chairperson can also round up. You know, when we were in the workshop from Monday and Tuesday this week with the CBE, one guy from Northern Cape, from Department of Transport, who is an engineer. He said exactly what they're saying. He says the roads in Northern Cape are still a challenge. And the partners of the province, of which we also experienced that, he said he also experienced similar problems in terms of puncture. He waited for hours, being in that province, for the rescue. He had a puncture also one day, and then he said it was so horrible to experience that thing. I mean, in the area where you can just see the bird flying over, no person, nothing. I'm telling you, really, it was horrible for you. He said, I was so scared.
I think they waited for about 3 hours before a man with a bicycle came along.
Yeah.
He took the tire and then went away with the tire and then came back after some other hour. That's how horrible that is.
Baba, Upokoja, Babukati.
Thank you very much for your presentation and welcome to Cape Town. The issue I want to raise and seek more clarity is around the toilet system that was mentioned a little earlier. As much as the system is in some quarters non-kosher, if I can put it in a more diplomatic way, one would assume that it is born out of the realities of the situation. Obviously, according to this report, you have a challenge in terms of water, water supply, water reticulation, and that kind of thing. And is it possible that a system, because I know other arid areas have borne the root of the particular toilet system that has been spoken about, successfully because there are challenges in terms of the supply of water reticulation. There's going to be a shortage of water in that area, and the system is not going to be, you don't see an improvement in terms of water supply. So obviously different mechanisms have to be put in place in terms of toilets. Is there a reason, perhaps an approach from the province to relook the strategy and how to improve it so that it can best serve the community and also address the other concerns that have been raised? That's all. Thank you very much.
Perhaps anything would you to come and take one question, or may I ask the members to...
No, we can take the
next question. Okay, thank you. Baba Khatib, Baba Andrew.
All right, thank you, Chairperson. I think the first comment a person will make is to appreciate both the reports from the delegation which went to the Northern Cape, plus the report from the side of the NEC. It gives us some real hope that work is being done on the ground. People are working very hard to push back the standards of poverty. I think that one must be appreciated. So, Comrade Chairperson, I'll also go back to the issue of the toilets. I think that when the President made a commitment that by the end of this year, the buckets will be eradicated, he never mentioned that all the buckets which will be eradicated will be replaced by the waterborne sewer type of. The only thing he committed was that the buckets will be eradicated. So it will depend area by area. For example, I'm coming from the Free State. There's an area which is known as Gwagwa. It's a former homeland. It's a mountainous area. There's no way in which you can have a waterborne system there. So it means that you must come with an innovative system. But what is really critical here is that even the system which is being used, it can be the what UDF, whatever it is, waterborne. Before that system can be implemented, the people must have a buy-in. The people must be consulted. I think that's the critical aspect. So that they are shown all the different options we're having. Because really we cannot put a water pump system here when the following month people don't have water to drink. I think, but if you speak with the people, they'll understand those things. But what is bad is when we hear that the people were bribed. I don't know how we can bribe the whole community. I don't understand it. How can we bribe? But the issue is the issue of information sharing. I think that one is critical because there are also other types of toilets like the VIP ventilated system. That one Barakot, which the Barakot should not be given to the people. But we know that the issue of parental education is not your competence. I think that one for local government. Barakot. But that's a part of the executive. I think as the public works, which deals with massive projects, you must have a blueprint how the project must be conducted or how the project must be run. For example, the issue of the consultation stage, the issue of assembling the stakeholders which are going to be affected by the project. Eventually, have a project steering committee so that you can avoid having the system when the project is running. People are protesting, disrupting that so that the NPD does not deliver. I think we can come with that, with that model, as the Department of Public Works. And then the second aspect will be the issue of training. The issue of training the project is very critical. Determining that you have a project of 40 million where the elements of EPW is nowhere to be seen. Really, because I think that when we spoke about housing poverty by 2014, we really meant that part of the EPW is addressed to do that, through training, whatever. So that by the time the people leave the project, there must be people who must be able to maintain that project or that infrastructure in the community concerned. So I think that the work of the CETA plus the buy-in again of the stakeholders is very critical when coming to dealing with these things. And then the last one, which is also very critical, was the issue of the CRGB. Really, we cannot afford to have a situation whereby the stakeholders within the government don't talk to each other. Because it will make a mockery that we are having a united government, a united South Africa. I think what is happening in Gauteng, what is happening in KwaZulu-Natal, what is happening in the Northern Cape. Northern Cape is not a foreign country, but it's part of South Africa. So I think that if the CRGB didn't pull its weight, really, we'll also have to do our work on our side to prioritize so that we can do the work. But by and large, I think that we appreciate what you've done, and then let's hope for the best that. All right, the last one is the issue of the office block, which you said that you reduced it from 7. It's appreciated to have that situation. But I think that I hope that in the process, it didn't compromise the quality of the building concept. It didn't compromise the type of infrastructure we're going to have. Because we must also have a state-of-the-art infrastructure. Because right now, we're in the second century, where ways of communication is advancing day by day. We must be able to, in your office, you must be able to have a teleconference. There was no indication for you to come here if our technology was up to scratch. You're supposed to have to sit in the office. We sit here, we communicate with you direct, and then we save the cost to do that. So I think that even the type of offices we're creating must have such an infrastructure. We must not be very stingy when coming to put up that infrastructure because for the generation to come. Because often is that we put the offices at the end of the day that 10 years down the line, they're really obsolete. There's nothing you can do. You have to restart them. I think that we must have that balancing effect. But we appreciate that. We take cognizance of the poverty of the people who are experiencing the error. Thank you, Chair.
In fact, maybe under
before you, let me just ask this, because it is true that we're not all there. Some of the members were like hearing some of the stories for the first time. I think we were impressed, honorable members, about the renovation of the, because it was old hostel. But the infrastructure, I know, is perfectly correct. I think that we're going well. Yeah, it's not. The other thing is this thing of UDS. You know, the challenge MEC there is that the new community, the village, which is the new community, where this UDS turret are erected or installed. Adjacent to that bridge, there's a road, and then there's another community. In that community, they were using three toilets, but they were told that about seven, plus minus seven of those UDS toilets were installed in this old village, and then it is alleged that people were bribed to attend that. Then this community, when we interacted with this community, they said, no, because that community accepted it, we had no option. But it's not that they were engaged. This community. But also, we're mindful of the fact that incident took place when this community was still not under your province, still under Northern Cape. That is what I was saying to us.
I'm sorry, not worth it, not worth that time. That is what was said to us. And hence we are saying that it is, insofar as our observation, we are not technocrats or politicians, but would like to see what is good for our people out there. And therefore, hence we are making a call in terms of investigating that process, whether it is relevant to that community. Because if adjacent to this village, there is another village that is using petroleum, and then to what extent that impact negatively to this extent that this community was not convinced, but there was a buy-in from few people, it is alleged that they were bribed in that situation. That Andrew.
No, thanks, Chair. So, Jefferson, indeed, it's true that the incorporation of the Kalahari district into the Northern Cape province has brought challenges to the province itself. And I'm quite confident that the MEC is capable of actually arresting the complexities that this has brought into the province and into the Department of Public Works. But with regard to I just want to add on to what has been said in regard to the toilets, the UDS toilets, and so on. That maybe before that is that my constituency report for the first time will then be submitted to the Northern Cape this time, the April and May report, because all along I've been submitting all these reports to the Northwest. There was no official, notice for me to submit to the Northern Cape yet, but I have just now been given the go-ahead to report to the Northern Cape as well. Because some of the issues that are captured by the committee appear in the previous reports, especially the toilet one. I made some recommendations on that. That it is important because of the fact that the resolution on the eradication of bucket toilets. There's a need because we have to go back to those toilets and redo some of the work there, and that will cost money. Now the recommendation is that maybe for the department and the local government, there's a need for us to embark on a research to find out as to how much have we actually the cost involved in that system of toilets. And out of that, also determined as to, because the allegations that are made by the community, you cannot just turn a blind eye on that. Maybe to check as to, from the steering committees that were part and parcel of that, and the local government, the resolutions that were taken. What made, the local government and to take the decision and to embark on those toilets. Because I think at the time when the construction took off, already there was an indication that the bucket system is actually not what we want in South Africa. So we need to have a research just to measure as to what extent have we, also what is it that we have lost in terms of money out of that the toilet system. And out of that, engage the local government and give a full report on this matter. Because if we have to go back and get another money to come up with the toilet system that is now required, it's a lot of money that is going to be involved in that. And that was the recommendations were centered around that. That before we go further, we need to have a research outcome of that and have a report, full report, as to what is it that we have lost. And how have we embarked on this, what happened in actual fact. So it is important that we go that route so that when we go back and come up with a strategy as to how are we going to go about and come up with a system that is required in terms of the transformation progress, what is it that we are going to spend in terms of money. So I just wanted to clarify that. But in terms of the report, there are many concerns that are coming up from the report, which I would then just indicate to the MEC that it will be important sometimes to meet with you so that we can go through these issues. So that I can also refer you to the previous reports that I have submitted so that we can deal with that and see how far we can go. I thought I might just leave that.
Thank you very much.
Can I add one important one for me? And I always raise this one, even in other verses in the promises. We have a situation in terms of property. You have properties in the rural areas, where in the areas that are not prescribed, so to speak, that fall under the chiefs in that area. You've got property there which was built by the previous government of Bophuthatswana. Mm-hmm. Not only there, but in other provinces as well. Mm-hmm. What do you do in terms of properties that are dilapidated and not being used, but they are there, and these poor people cannot have access to utilize those properties? Mm-hmm. In Rustenburg, for an example, we had a similar situation. But there was a recommendation by the provincial public works that in a situation like that, if the property is in the chief's territory, put it that way, one way or the other, if the property is not of that value that we can utilize, then it must then be given to those communities to utilize that property. We have the situation, it's also in the report here. I think we need to focus on that. So that we ensure that those properties are not completely demolished, because people can still use
them.
No, thank you very much, Chapter. I think the matter relating to the UDF. I will request my colleague to provide a report in this regard. And we also acknowledge the proposals that are made by the committee in terms of our role in this regard. I think the matter that has been raised about the R&D elements of this project, I think we will look into them as well. The issue of the office block, I will leave it to the HOD. You know, I've learned so much in such a short period of time in roads and public works that issues that really inflate the prices is this concept of consultancy. You see, we are rearranging or restructuring our transport unit that come next year, April, that we have our own planning and design unit located in the department. Because if you do that, then you minimize the issues of consultancy. Chair, we don't know what is the truth around some of the allegations made in this discipline. You're an architect, Chairperson. You do the drawings. I'm the contractor. And we are close friends. There's nothing that stops me from saying I will design this thing so awkwardly that you should be the one who actually obtains this project at a cost. These are allegations that are made. They need to be tested. And we're beginning to say that. How true is that? Some of the designs of the roads, we're busy investigating them with the HOD. We pay huge sums of money to consultants. Well, the SEM system that says the MEC and the HOD are exonerated, the employees or the ordinary officials will deal with that within the legislation and all that. it's something that we also need to look into. Because at the end of the day, if things are exorbitant, the MEC must respond. And in the meantime, the MEC does not sit in the FCM processes. Those are some of the challenges that we have. But these are the challenges that we have in terms of the built environment. So if government, and I think that is the point that I raised in Minmay, if we as government does not actually create our own institutions, our own people who would be able to do designs and planning, then we are going to continue to pay huge sums of money. In a province like the Northern Cape, it's not a matter of compromising the standards. It's a matter of how smart can you do things. You know, when you come from the private institutions, or private sector, I worked for the private sector for 26 years. There are other ways that you can actually deal with things in order to ensure that you work smart. And I think those are some of the ideas that one needs to introduce in government. You see, in government, if you, it's unlike in the private sector, you are not actually chased for profits. Even if you have a disclaimer, it's an issue that can be pursued, it can be dealt with. But in the private sector, if you have a disclaimer, you're out. That type of thing. So I think it's a balance that we should be able to bring in and inculcate to say, how do we actually restructure some of these institutions to make sure the level of professionalism is there, the level of competency is there, and we also at the same time ensure that we pay value for money. The training, yes, I think we note the point. Chairperson, we do need to note the point that we need to engage with CETA in this regard. I can just safely say that with regard to CITP, we have already started that very good working relationship. In fact, they've been to the province already 3 times. We are happy with that program. We are also looking at having our own center like KZN, even though it will not be of the magnitude of KZN, but that will actually be able to deal with some of our challenges. I think from the meeting that we had with them on Monday, they just said to us, we need a boardroom so that we can actually be able to train people. That's all that we need, that type of thing. Maybe just on the issues of properties. We have a very big challenge in Kalahari, Honorable Member. You would remember there was an institution called Northwest Development Corporation or whatever. And some of these buildings, these big buildings, I've got a big building that is standing in Pampilsat. You can put in, you can actually convert it into a mall. And it belongs to those institutions. So it's a process that we are engaging with our counterparts in the Northwest. In fact, we've just finalized our last discussions around the handing over. And we have said that some of those small little things that we need to deal with, we can also extend our SLAs up until the end of March. So that we tighten them up, inclusive of the issues of property. But what we have been doing is that some of the properties that are still in the good shape, we have actually allocated them to our departments as office, regional offices to use. And we are actually trying to compile and complete our asset register in that area. Hopefully by the end of next year, March, we would be able to actually identify those areas. The areas of the property that is located within the jurisdiction of the chief is another challenge. Yesterday, I could not actually attend the full meeting with Chairperson Mashangu and the chiefs. And one of the issues that was raised was exactly that. I couldn't actually understand. But I think these are issues that will be taken back to cabinet for proper resolution. We are actually, as a province, also having an institution started to deal with the issues of traditional leadership in the office of the premier. But Ruth, maybe you just want to finalize and then the issue of how we went about the building and not compromising standards.
Thanks, yes, Honourable Chairperson, what happened with some of the people that designed the building? As the ABC alluded earlier, you know, maybe use a contract like in which you get it. We found out that they were very extravagant in the sense of wanting marble floors and big water features, air conditioning, the ABC's office that amounts to 65,000. So some of the specifications was way out and just too extravagant, you know, and not in line with the people of the area and addressing the poverty issues. Also with that construction, we made it a point because we realized that a lot of these projects, in hindsight, as you correctly said, the secure care center, we're making it now to look at issues with EPWP compliance, because as the MEC is blocked as well, the paving and everything around there, we will be having students we'll send them for retraining, because what we've discovered is that sometimes with the way they make the bricks and things, the material or the quality wasn't very good and the mix wasn't good. So we send people for retraining now that they will actually start also to do the paving of the parking area based on EPWP principles and things. We're also going to make it mandatory in the contract to say that part of this contract must be EPWP. You must be grouped with these contractors, etc., from the database. And we'll also try and track those people specifically to ensure that they emerge, because how would you justify or say these people did emerge from one to two now? We have to have valid proof and documentation to prove that this has basically happened. I thank you. What we've also done, we don't see some of the other committee members here, but just to remember us by in the Northern Cape, we have taken the photos of the areas for you to look at, and then we've made a video of your entire trip. Here and there you may have been aware you on video footage. They were joking in the office yesterday that there was something that shouldn't have been recorded, so just be very careful when you view the video. Thank you very much. I will then just pass it on to the chairperson just to distribute. Thanks.
Well, before the chairperson could take his time to really have closing remarks and thank you, MEC, I must say that once more, you know, you had this team that was really very much open to us. We were really so happy to be with them. They were so happy to be with us. And we really enjoyed our stay in Northern Cape from day one till the last day. Even when we had to pass away, it was really not so easy. I remember for you when we were coming, back from the heritage site back to Springbok. When we stopped on the road, you told us to stop. You know, and then we quickly have a chance and then get into the car and drive again. You know, because the road was really so tiring. But really, we did not want to part ways. Really, that is how really we were so impressed about our trip to Northern Cape. Having said that, I think that Chairperson is over to you now. You can just stand up. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
sir.
MEC, we have come to the end of the road.
on behalf of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, we want to thank you for honoring us by coming to Cape Town and meet and with us and share with us invaluable information. As a Portfolio Committee, there are certain aspects that are so important that you have raised. That also talks to our own recommendations that we're going to come up with. Yes, indeed, we were with CBE. They were having their strategic quarterly strategic workshop that they had. They also reflected on some of the issues that you spoke about. But arising from that meeting, there was a very strong consensus that suggests that there is a need to amend the existing act. Because they felt that the other acts that control the other professions should have been repealed when the CBE Act was put in place in 2000. So with the support coming from yourself, this could be possible. In support thereof, the department, the national department, even before we were in that meeting, were then informed that it is a trust bill that the department has put together. What we observe is that the draft bill is still amending the very same act but leaving them in existence. Instead of having one act, the CBE Act, where all these other professions are forced directly under. The proposal also that came from the members was to then say once that kind of an act has been put into place, the other professions could be accommodated by way of regulations that are going to be factored in to respect their autonomy, but within one act. That is the proposals that were coming out. Because what we discovered when we're interrogating the annual report of CBE, they were unable to respond to critical issues that directly relate to those professions because they are controlled by their own acts. So you find that the CBE then does not have that kind of a muscle to call them to account or to do the oversight. Sometimes saying it's one key area that is quite important. Coming to my mind and departing, there is the National Youth Service. I was just thinking about students. If we talk National Youth Service, here we talk discipline. Here we talk training, skilling. The Department of Defense is exactly doing that. So how do we then begin to link up with the Department of Defense and have a joint venture? I'm saying this because some of the engineers are in defense. And we as public works are not even licensed. Discipline. I remember some years ago the apartheid government used to have some construction in my city. But arising from that, this is me now talking, arising from that, there was some kind of discipline from those soldiers who were of him. I'm then saying, when we talk about the National Youth Service, that directly talks to. Yesterday I had a meeting with Love Life. That, like what I'm saying, it's not just about age and stuff. They were also saying the same, kind of wanting themselves to be part of this program, the National Youth Service. And they were coming up with marvelous ideas. That directly talks to what we have come up with since the National Youth Service. So I'm then saying it's going to be important to them that to further that, we can also have these linkages. Question of morality. Because in the army it is there, but how do we then do it? So I'm throwing this as something to think about, so that because I also intend to visit various programs to begin also to talk about this. We have also those military bases that are not in use. This is where the training can take place. The actual training can happen in those military bases for our youth. Now I'm just posing these as something that one can and do anything to also to interrogate and see how we can advance the public works program, particularly on the National Youth Service. Having said those few words, the committee is going to put together the report. As I've indicated, no direct mention will be made that then suggests that we are saying to other departments on issues that relate to those kids like Papua, like your local government. We have to respect the state of government. But our report will simply say certain issues that, by way of observation, have been referred to those departments. This is what we're also going to do. But it's not putting them in our report. Exactly what we're going to do. Because we have to respect them. Then, hopefully, the chairperson and the committee will then be sending you the copy of the report after it has been tabled with the parliament. As you normally do, they will also be making a follow-up. Next year, they will once again visit your province and also looking into the issues that we have discussed and the advancements that we have made on some of the issues that you raised. In those few words, I want to thank your staff once again, as the Honourable Member Fatima said, for the diligent work and accommodating them when they're in your province. It's very clear that they want to go back. I do realize that there are certain things that they are not talking about. My last visit in your province, we were members in Karahadi. There was that road construction that was done there, the EPWP program. And we were quite impressed as to what was actually happening there. And we met the man of men. I learned that only 2 days ago. Koi man of men. we met them, they were, we were also discussing the issues to them, we're not discussing issues. We were not sure of their age. We were exposed to them and we had to argue with them. They told us, don't ever think that we're young. Because I was saying it at that particular time. But I cannot understand that these young boys and girls are working, they are supposed to be at school. Some of the Department of Education says that system must be corrected. We cannot accept this kind of a thing. They said, what? But graduate.
35
years old. Exactly so. This is not I'm not going to say what that they said in African say. They said. No, I'm not going to say. But having said so, having understanding their language, then you'd know that they didn't simply say but graduate. They said something else. C plus plus whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm then saying that for me, I still want to go back there. I just love the place. But one area that was also a bit of a concern that was raised in the question, but that is the asbestos.
Yes.
How are you going to begin to address that? And that during that particular visit, you talk about the paving.
Yeah.
You know, the program was marvelous. I think we went to another town where the paving was done marvelously.
Yeah.
You know, people were on the road wearing your yellow, you know, EPWG, you know, overalls and stuff.
Yeah.
And we were so excited because things were just, you know, were just moving at the time. But I'm quite happy also to hear that things are still moving. Right. I'm then saying, MEC, we're quite honored. And we want to thank you and thank you once again, together with your department. And we'll be doing it here as we have indicated. Thanks again. Thanks, John. What I'm proposing is that Akona, you to take current, that you take the MECs to the venue at dinner, for lunch, not dinner. It's so dark outside. I was thinking that it's in the evening. Then I'll request the members just to stay behind for say something like 10 minutes. You forgive me because we agreed that we are going to deal with this, but as you have it, even as if I'm now trying to push because I'm using the quality wise, yes, I mean it's that we can take food. Members, we have the minutes of the PMG, you are going to be slaughtered. This is a private meeting. this is no more a portfolio committee meeting. Thanks. No. No, I said this. No. You have correct. Stay. It's like in your head. This is the portfolio commission that we're dealing with. Sorry for that, FPM. Remember, we are having minutes that we just have to go through them. Some have made some technical amendments. If we may start with the, or going as far back then as the Acacia Park. Is the Acacia Park? No, that's the study that we call it. It was a okay. Because we don't form the column for the report, we're not going to give this report, we're just going to give it to you. You may respond or go to give it to them next week. So I'm then saying, members, let's just go through the meaning. Because it's not really, because they don't carry any action plan. Now we will then go to the minutes that are automatically here. We go to the minutes of the 13th of June. Well, what I was then saying is that when I was reading some of the minutes are very general. They also talk to some issues that also relate to, if we're talking about provinces, that should be done by provinces. So I'm then saying we accept that, but I want us to then say, when we look into the reports that have been circulated to members, we find that some of the reports are suggesting that we are saying as a portfolio committee, Department of Public Works or a given department must do 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Where do you read your report? We have to amend. We cannot, because that's another sphere of government. So I'm then saying, you find that even the minutes, some of the minutes are saying that. But I'm then saying that must also be the amended, not to read where we're going to instruct a province or a department to do what they're supposed to, not to be instructed on, because it's their responsibility to each other being held. So I'm then saying, that's one thing that I've picked up in some of the minutes, that we have to amend them accordingly, so that if we do agree, then we can adopt the minutes with that amendment. That's my first amendment to the entire set of ministers, because the minister that we have are the minister of the 13th, the minister of the 20th, the minutes of the 22nd, and the minutes of the 29th of August. So those are the 4 sets, 1, 2, 3, 4 sets of minutes. Yeah. Like the minutes of the 2013, if you go to actions to be taken by the committee, we say that the committee to make a proposal with the Department of the DPLC at the budget cycle. We cannot make a proposal, safe to say that we cannot make that proposal for us to just for them to consider. Because if you do, I'm talking about if you go at the back page of the second, right? If you issue goes the midst of the second thing, if you go to bullet number two, we say the committee to make a proposal is the PLG. We can't. So these are some of the things that I'm just saying. It's totally impossible. These are the observations and issues that we refer to them. We can't propose anything. We'll take them as observations without making any proposal. So that's why I say that's one thing. Like, probably to be reminded that contractor was making for the program. That's exactly what I was just saying. That's it again. It's a question of the observation and issue trade. Right. The Excelsior Court report, I know we have it. The last point, really, this was a commitment made by the department. Students say they'll be coming to preach. I want that one particular point to be noted, because the Department of Public Works made a commitment that they'll be having evaluation. You remember sometime in June. We've been trying to follow that one up until today, because they were to brief the committee, so that we push that into the program. And that must be in the program already, no matter what. Any more? Very much over. Mm-hmm. Second, then we go to the minutes of the 20th. Yes. I'm going straight, members, to the follow-up. So we say CIDB to provide a committee to user guide that member. We have the user guide. And part of the user guide, and this is for registration said to enable member to assist people when doing their oversight. It was immediately submitted by CIDB. Which in any case I was saying, as Mr. Conan, the minutes of that particular issue that simply said measures to CIDB. Then it's a report, because this is once again a report. You have gone into various issues that are already contained in the report as it were. The ministry has simply said, we met with the CIDB on a given date, and that is the report. Whether it's either the report is attached, or because the report is the report that we have to ask for. Because the report is going to have a recommendation from the same one. The president of Elbar. So, yeah. Any mover? Intervene Khatebe. Seconder? Any seconder? Mambota. And then the minutes of the 22nd.
Okay. No,
Marcus was giving me the minutes. Yeah. This collectory follow-up. To try and send someone to the same check of my time to do what I've done and do. Collection. Yeah. My question would be that in the issue of the pending and the oversight visit to the same check, has that been follow up?
I think you'll take that one up as part of areas that when the committee to be visited here. Yeah.
Members may we're still asking for the interside arising from the interside report. We simply go now to question the organization that emanated from the presentation. But the cut of the matter is the interside. It still tests the correct.
It still tests that the decision took by the committee that we have to visit as a committee. the countries that we mentioned, like Australia and Ireland, that was spending that extension from the briefing that we got. It's very clear. And there's a research unit that Intersight is using, I think it's in one of the countries, in Norway or somewhere, where they also get that kind of research around every other thing that relates to assets and asset management. So this is where they also source their information. I would then kind of suggest that the researcher can also link up with Intersight so that they can get this information, because the information that Intersight is getting and presenting to us, they are taking all that information from this web. They are working very closely. So the research unit of Intersight is working very closely with those researchers in doing that. The area, if you recall, that the Intersight people said they did not conduct a study on, is the East. But they are intending to do that. I think Honorable Member Wang was the key one who then said, no, it must be done so that we have a holistic. But I'm coming to the same members. It is imperative, it must be pursued, Mayor Akona, that members at the least have to go, because from the information that we got, there's a lot that is happening. And the models that we have put can assist also our country. Yes. If my memory serves well, that is why even on the Honorable Member Wang, came up to them and said, yes. Can you just remind
me? In my understanding, Ms. Margini was saying they are doing a study, but it's not yet finished. Yeah. But I will verify that.
Sure, verify that, so that we can put what is the process.
As I said, that the members are, the key is that members have to go. I think we've targeted also for members to go to one or two of them. Because this is going to happen. This is going to assist us. He then says, we have to be very sharp once again to look into that is the annual report of the department. So something is also happening.
The Auditor General is keeping on bringing up the issue of the assets. So if we can begin to zoom into that, that also talks directly to the Office Secretary of the field as to why members have to undertake this particular trip. Because year in and year out, your age is keeping on saying there is a problem that we're not addressing. So I urge that the committee members also. I will talk to the new chair also to take it that way. The last minute. The minute of the of oh yeah, the mover. Yes.
Number four, with regards to the example made about the, is it Austrian or Australian? Australian.
Then, let's go to the next one.
I don't see one anywhere, whether in the present, and then or in the apology, or in the apology.
Then the main of the this is what is this is the
insisted about what we were having to take. We were not part of the issue. We were just talking about this particular meeting, and Pablo supposed to take care. And some of the issues are the very same issues that have been raised. The bullet, if you were with them saying certain things that must be raised, must then be contained as well. But there's one little, I didn't read them all, but there's one little, the bullet number and other number 3, if you go to bullet under project, the fourth bullet from under, that says the suggestion that it's a construct and the name is the name. So, I think there is a mistake that things go down. I think that's 20 million thing on the
number. They have just corrected that. So that 14 million is perfectly correct where it is. Am I correct? Because I was not that wrong. It should be that bullet. So the actual figure is 14 million as it appears, not 20. Are you aware?
14 million.
It's 14.
14 million.
It's 14 million. So it's correct. Yeah.
No,
no, this is what I'm asking because I was not there, because I was trying to verify with the researcher, which is particular because this is where the contractor, Mr. Fanzai, was working on a 14 million project. The 14 million project was between 20 or 20 million because the researcher's notes suggest that it was 20 million.
And then the report says
14. This is the question that I was asking. Clear knowledge, we can correct that. The question of showing. But having said that, then this is exactly what took place today. Any mover?
And then it's got a bit resulting to, resulting in.
Yeah.
So that's like this grammatical error for the resulting in. See the third one?
Mover?
The same, on the same line, the same line, Jeffers Mover. The knowledge, understanding of the EPWT principles, and the next line is resulting in the delegation in
1982.
Any more? The recommendation that we say the process should make use of the Human Science Research Council. This thing has been researched before. The AMC has taken a decision.
What point?
The AMC has taken a decision that there is going to be an eradication of the bucket system. Yeah, so I'm not sure what it is that we want to research now. Don't you recommend that they research? Because the decision has been taken by the AMC after the research was done previously.
I think they are referring to the UDF. But can I make a suggestion?
Then we should place this question.
Because we cannot put this here. Because we're still going to have a report that must be adopted. I think the point is quite correct.
Okay.
Because we have to begin to look into that. So that we put the right thing in the recommendations that we're going to come up with. Why don't you place these other observations and recommendations in the mean so that in the when we deal with the report, we're able to deal with these 2 points. Being well thought of because we have to discuss recommendations. Because we haven't discussed the recommendations in the report for the committee. Why don't we address that this whether some of the observations? Don't forget then to put these 2 bullets for consideration in the report. You may put it as you can put them in consideration for the report. Don't put that say by HRC as a bullet and nothing else. And the province to a user trust could transfer matters for consideration. Yeah, things like that, yes. But we don't put any other things, just mention the two names. For consideration by 5455 in the report. Any movement? Teruko Kortia, who adopts? Who second? That might be.
I got a message from the report. Even during that time, it was not a mistake of the certain consent, but it reflects in the report it went to the department. And the certain measure after. Is that any much information?
I sent out notices to the member station halls, and then I formed all the members, but I couldn't get hold of you. Your cell phone just rang and rang, and it doesn't go to voicemail, so I couldn't speak to you about that. But the notices were taken out at 9 o'clock, because after I spoke with the chairperson to changing the time in the venue, I sent out notices, and then I called all the members. I also talked with the secretary.
Then the one
that
Eddie mentioned that you called, that then where we call the department, where we are, we then say we're going to have a second proposition after the portfolio committee is the one that you're talking about. Yes, members, I want to then say that was urgent, really. That was very urgent, because we were to deal with from Shara to Salama, we were to deal with a very burning issue right at that particular time. I think then we cannot hold members accountable, because that was a very urgent meeting that we called and to deal with that specific issue. So on that particular, we cannot hold them accountable. Yeah. The meeting is on the floor.
This is just to inform members that there are programs that were stipulated in the last management meeting, which reflects that there will be a committee meeting on the 4th of September that has been cancelled. There will only be a meeting on the 5th of September. I will try to contact all the members, especially those that are not here, because we will need a quorum to adopt all the outstanding reports. And the meeting of the 11th of September, whereby the committee was going to meet with the construction sector, is also postponed until further notice.
The reason being that we spoke with the incoming chair, we have to take it through. She would further need to be taken on board on some of the issues. Because we're then saying, you call the sister, what is she going to do? Then I think the assistant is then where the members will then begin also to assist her to begin to understand and cover up the issues, because there's some documentation, essentials must be sitting with her so that she can also be on par with members' understanding of the issues. But then, so this is also the directive that we got from caucus yesterday to then say the question of the handing over is very important. No, so I think we were just also keeping that sort of opening. Now getting into the People's Assembly, she has also requested that, though I yes, she has requested that I I asked this every time because she says she's not feeling well. She said I should go and see the doctor, which I accepted. I took the matter with Saint George yesterday. So then say there is this arrangement that relates to the people's assembly. Now Jeff then said the matter must be taken to the chief which for their for them to agree to that arrangement. So that's the only thing that I also wanted to report. That is the visit is still on, but there is a meeting that is going to take place on Tuesday of all those key committees that have been identified to conduct the oversight. I think the chairperson has been called into that meeting to get a final program and then logistics. So it's more about logistics. Not the program, it's just logistics that they must care.
Yes, sir. Also, another that you should be talking about is about social media. How is it because that the social for us, Babala, I see in my phone there were 4 million contact records. So don't you post the private number so that no one can go back to the report. So how do you correct that situation? Because in the report, it will appear our access, whereas our smart access.
What I will do, because I spoke to Andres, I called Andres a day before, and I indicated to Andres that we'll be having a study group meeting immediately after the portfolio committee because of that banning issue. So we then agreed on that. So I'm committing myself to write an explanation, not all members, because of that disease. There's a short notice because of that disease. I think we can address that and there's a problem. Having said that, members will see one another on Wednesday. I think that is my first day. Tuesday. No, my management meeting, yes, you're quite correct. But I'm saying for the last on Wednesday, so that's the last day. The last day as a chair.
Thank you.